In February last year, we were reminded of just how little we know about asteroids when one, measuring nearly 20 metres across, exploded over Russia with a force of 500,000 tonnes of TNT. But that asteroid was only detected once it had entered the Earth's atmosphere. On the back of that near miss, NASA launched its Asteroid Grand Challenge last month, which aims to enlist citizen scientists to help protect the planet. As part of the challenge, NASA is running a competition to develop better ways to detect asteroids. Jen Gustetic runs NASA's Prizes and Challenges program. She's on the Gold Coast at the moment to present a public lecture for Griffith University. She joins us now. Jen, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning.
Jen, we know a massive asteroid wiped out the dinosaurs 66 million years ago, but just how concerned do we still need to be about an asteroid wiping us out sometime in the future or the near future?
Well, the good news is for the big ones, the ones the size approximately of what created a really bad day for the dinosaurs 65 million years ago, we know where most of those are at, the vast majority of those, and for the next 100 years, none of them are an impact trajectory. So we can all breathe a fresh sigh of relief with the big ones that could be a bad day for the whole planet. Though there are still a lot of smaller ones the size of the impactor that came in over Russia last year that we still need to find.
And a lot of smaller ones, aren't there? There's a lot of asteroids out there.
Yes, there are a lot of small ones. The small ones are a lot harder to see than the big ones, which is why we're trying to enlist the help of citizen scientists, professional astronomers, amateur astronomers, and a variety of skill sets across the globe to help with this important activity.
So just to quantify it, because I didn't know this, according to NASA, there's about 1 million asteroids out there that go down to about the size of 30 meters. So therefore, with that kind of number out there, the likelihood of something hitting us, pretty big hitting us in the future, is guaranteed.
Well, we do know that asteroids quite often enter our atmosphere. You know that based on all the meteors that you can actually find and buy online. But most of them burn up mostly on the way down through the atmosphere. So we do have pieces of them kind of all over our planet. That's how we know what they're made of as well, the ones where there's bits that make it back down to the surface.
Why didn't we know about last year's asteroid over Russia until it entered the atmosphere?
Part of the problem with that particular asteroid is that it was coming from the direction of the sun, and most of the observing that we do of asteroids is from the ground, and thus when it's coming from the direction of the sun, they're very, very difficult to see because we observe at night.
Okay, so you've launched the Asteroid Grand Challenge to make sure they don't sneak up on us again.
Mm-hmm.
What are you hoping to achieve with this? What are you asking citizen scientists and others to do?
So with the Asteroid Grand Challenge, NASA is challenging the globe to get involved in finding all asteroid threats to human populations and knowing what to do about them.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is picking particular problems within that big activity that we know can be helped along by folks around the globe with a variety of skill sets. So for example, NASA just announced last month a particular prize competition called the Asteroid Data Hunter Challenge that's seeking to create algorithms to parse through ground-based observation data sets from observatories like Catalina Sky Survey, where there's one of those telescopes based here in Australia, to identify better algorithms to parse through that data to identify potentially hazardous asteroids while reducing false positives. And there's $35,000 up for grabs in that challenge for folks that can help contribute to creating a better algorithm. And folks around the globe can participate in that activity.
So this is aimed at mathematical students, mathematical scientific experts beavering away trying to come up with the algorithm. Since you've launched it a month ago, I think nearly, have you had much response?
Yes, so it's actually, the challenge is a series of 10 contests in order to get to that final algorithm
mm-hmm.
that does target involvement by coders, developers, data scientists, a variety of skill sets, folks good with computers kind of across the globe. But the first contest of that 10 ended a couple weeks ago, and we had about 15 times the registration that we usually get in our contest
so
on
how
the
many
Top
is
Coder
that?
Platform.
Hmm? How many is that?
That was, for this particular one, it was 30 submissions
mm-hmm.
for the first challenge. This was just problem scoping, though, so it's a little bit less of a sophisticated contest than the other ones that are coming later that we expect hundreds and thousands of people to actually participate in around the globe.
And have you done this before? Have you invited the world's computer experts and math students and scientists to get together and help NASA break through, basically crowdsourcing of knowledge and know-how?
Yes. One of the pushes of NASA since 2005 has actually been to create means for individuals and innovators to get involved in helping some of the tough problems of space and aeronautics. And NASA has been using crowdsourcing pretty actively since about 2008 with online platforms like Topcoder and Incentive and Kaggle and Tungle, and the list goes on. But it's a way for us to ask individuals and innovators from other disciplines, folks that might not normally know how to work with NASA, to participate and contribute their expertise to real problems that NASA faces. So NASA certainly uses quite a bit of crowdsourcing.
That mix of expertise and innovation and from different sectors, is that reflected within NASA itself? Do you have units reflecting that broad makeup of expertise?
So NASA has experts in a wide variety of topics around the agency, ranging from aeronautics to earth science to astrophysics to human exploration, and even our doctors that make sure that we keep our astronauts healthy while in space. And so NASA itself certainly has a diversity of expertise, but we recognize that there are a lot of good ideas out there, and there are a lot of experts disciplines that we don't have on staff that our problems could benefit from their perspectives on.
How do people enter?
So it depends on the platform. With the one that we've got going right now with Asteroid Data Hunter, you can go to www.topcoder.com/asteroids, and you'll be able to register for the competition there. That first marathon match for the actual algorithm development starts April 18th. So sign up now and track that if you want to participate in that particular algorithm contest. But you sign up online for each competition that we've got.
So if you want to be a part of the Asteroid Grand Challenge, you go to topcoder.com/asteroids.
Yep, for this particular contest associated with the Grand Challenge.
And,
yep.
for contests in the weeks and months ahead, you head to the NASA website.
So for the other ones that we do on Topcoder, I would say head to the NASA Tournament Lab. If you just Google NASA Tournament Lab, you'll come up to that website that lists all the contests that we've got going on. And we've got a variety of them, not just asteroids.
Who knew? Jen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jen Gustetic is the head of NASA's Prizes and Challenges program, and she's talking about the Asteroid Grand Challenge at a public lecture at Griffith University this afternoon. Just the place for it, I reckon.